Praise the Lord. I'm so glad to see you in the house of the Lord this morning. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to minister to your people again this day. Father God, they came out to sit at your table. They came out to eat fresh manna from heaven. I'm asking you, Father God, to continue to minister to your people. Let your angelic host be going to and fro throughout this room this morning. Touch your people. Meet every need, Father. And Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Last Sunday, I started teaching about walking in the Spirit. This morning, I'm going to teach part two of that to complete it. We have to be walking in the Spirit more today than we ever have in our entire walk with God. And God spoke to me last night and said that the church is about to undergo a great transition. And he also told me that the young people were going to come into the house of God, and they were going to be so vibrant, so exuberant, and they are not going to be afraid of anything, and they're going to put the devil on the run. Now, you guys who have been with the Lord for a long time, you have to understand that God wants to use you to minister to these people and be a light unto them and let them see what God is all about. But when God told me when he sends them in, they're already going to be so excited and so high on him that the devil won't ever be able to turn them aside. And, you know, it's not going to be like the old church where every wind and doctrine casts somebody aside. You know, they're just going to be on fire for God, and great salvations are going to take place. So I'm excited about that. I'm excited, you know, because really this new generation is messed up. This young generation is messed up. And as God was talking to me, and I thought, well, God, He will be performing many, many miracles on these people, on these young people, when he sends them into the house of God, because they're going to have to be changed, totally changed, for God to do what he told me he's going to do through them. The body of Christ, we as the body of Christ, we need to walk more and more in the Spirit. We need to walk totally and completely in the Spirit. 3 years ago, God told us it's now Spirit is called the Spirit. No more religion. Total Spirit. You shouldn't be doing anything unless the Spirit of God tells you to do it. Absolutely nothing. Oh, Father, I'm just waiting on you, Lord, to give me the okay to go ahead and start teaching. We just thank you, Father. We just thank you, Lord. We praise you. We give you honor. We give you glory. We hear God say, tell my people the old things have passed away and everything has become brand new. You are a new creation in me this morning. Do not be dismayed at what I do with you from this moment forth. For I have been looking for a people who will totally surrender themselves to me, and I have found those people here in this place this day. And now I'm ready to exalt you and send you forth to do the great mighty works that I need to have done in this time and this dispensation. There is much sorrow in the world, my children, but you will bring the light, you will bring joy with you. And as the people look at you, they will see me, and they will know that I am the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and that there is none like me nowhere on this earth. You are pure vessels of honor that I can now work through. The light is no longer dim, but it shines bright. You have been through the furnace of affliction more times than you care to go through it, but you have been refined as pure gold, and you have come forth as vessels of honor that I can now work through. I want you to be encouraged this day. And I want you to know that I, the Lord thy God, that I have your path all mapped out before you, and that I promise you that your feet are cemented in that path, and they will not stray to the right nor to the left. But from this day forward you will walk as I command you to walk, and you will do what I command you to do. And you will no longer walk in disobedience, but you will be obedient to everything that I call you forth to do. This is an exciting time in my body, but it's also a sad time in my body. or you will see many churches close in the next few months. These are churches that are not of me. They are out there for the monies. They're out there for the glory. And I'm going to close them down. You will see other churches that were holding services and they weren't in blatant sin, but yet they weren't doing the things I called them for to do in these churches. I will not close down, but I will change and rearrange them. I am going to have a pure church, a holy church, one without spot and wrinkle. And I have been doing the works behind the scenes to cause this to happen. And now I say unto you here this day, lift up your head, hold it high, raise a banner of holiness, raise a banner of purity, and just walk forth into my glorious light and take that glorious light to a lost and a dying world. I am that I am, and there is none like me. I have spoken, and so shall it be. Last week I told you that we need to be walking in the Spirit as never before, and then I said, how can you obtain such a walk in the Spirit? God's purpose for one of his children is that we surrender to the reign and rulership of the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. In other words, if he lives in you, then let him direct you. If he lives in you, let him direct you. And John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him. For he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. So the Holy Spirit lives in you. And the Holy Spirit is with you. And the Holy Spirit will constantly, if you just surrender to him every second of every day, he'll be telling you what to do. He'll be leading, guiding, and directing your footsteps. And John 14:26 says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. When I was first born again, God told me, he said, I don't want you to go away to Bible school because my Holy Spirit will teach you. And I didn't know what he was telling me, but I was taught by the Holy Spirit. And you know, it's better to be taught by the Holy Spirit than have your mind all boggled down with doctrine of man and have man's opinion. We don't want man's opinion. We want God's word leading, guiding, and directing us. And John 15:26 says, but when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. In other words, if you're full of the Holy Spirit, people will know that you're being led by the Holy Spirit. There won't be any question, but there'll just be something about you that will just vibrate God himself. Nevertheless, John 16:7 says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And who's the Helper? Holy Spirit. See, Jesus said he had to go away so we could have the Holy Spirit. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see him no more. Of judgment because the ruler of this world is judge. Now, what convicts people? Not you, but the Holy Spirit in you convicts people. If you ever notice when you're around people sometimes, they can be really ignorant. You can't figure out why. It's because the Holy Spirit that's emanating from you is convicting them of their sin. And they really don't want to be around you because then they have to deal with their problems. All right? And verse 12 said, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. See what the Holy Spirit will do? He will tell you of things to come. Now, God doesn't ever want us to just be caught off guard. He wants to always tell us what's going to happen before it ever happens. It is the Holy Spirit that does that speaking to you. And so instead of you being caught off guard, why not go ahead and get yourself filled with the Holy Spirit so that the Holy Spirit will tell you what people are doing or how things are going to turn out in your life. Verse 14 says, He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. The Holy Spirit is going to show you, as you read the Word, exactly what Jesus is all about. That's why when you read the Word, you need to read the Word in the Spirit. You need to be asking the Holy Spirit to be with you and to show you the truth of what you're reading. This is why we miss so much in the Bibles, because we just pick up the Bible and start reading. We don't ever ask the Holy Spirit to come and be with us as we read and reveal truth to us. All right, the command to walk in the Spirit is given to all. Not just a few super saints, but to everybody. Here is how you can obtain this walk. You must go after this walk with everything in you. It's going to have to be something you desire more than eating. First, ask the Holy Spirit to be your guide and friend in John 14:26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. In other words, the Holy Spirit will remind you of what God said. Have you ever been doing something, all of a sudden you just remember something that God told you, and it just relates to what you're going through? Because a lot of times God will speak to you about things that are going to happen, and then we forget them, don't we? And then the Holy Spirit brings it back to our remembrance. Luke 11:9 says, Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. If you don't ask God to fill you with the Holy Spirit, you're not going to get the Holy Spirit in its fullness. You have to be seeking for it. How many of you, even though you know you walk in the Spirit, there are times you just say, Holy Spirit, I really need you to be really alive right now. I need you to really come to my rescue and start showing me what's going on in my life. He's there, but you need him to become more alive than ever before. If you are saved, then the Holy Spirit has already been given to you. Now, ask him to take over. Surrender to him. You have to determine in your heart that you want him to lead and guide you. All right? Now, Brad here, he's a roofer, all right? And one day he was going up on the roof on a windy day, and the wind knocked him off, and you know, knocked him down to the ground, and he was carrying a bundle of whatever they are, shingles. Now, see, if he was walking in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit would have warned him that there was danger coming, and he could have been watching himself, because this is what the Holy Spirit does. All right? Moses, speaking of the latter days, said in Deuteronomy 4:29, But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him, if thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. You know, in the Old Testament, Moses talked about that. But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him, if thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. You know, some people say, well, the Holy Spirit doesn't speak to me. No, that's because you're not seeking him. You're not giving him, you know, the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He will not push himself on you. You have to give him full permission every day to do whatever he wants to do. Tell me whatever he wants to tell me. I want him to lead, guide, and direct me every day. Verse 36 says, He made thee to hear his voice, that he might instruct thee. Hear that? God made us to hear his voice so that he could instruct us. Focus on knowing and hearing the Spirit and get your eyes off your trouble and temptation. Focus on knowing and hearing the Spirit and get your eyes off your trouble and temptation. Paul, Silas, and Timothy would have wallowed in fear and depression if they had focused on their troubles. Instead of they focused on God, praising and worshiping him. See, if you're in a problem, if you're facing a problem, quit focusing on that problem and focusing on the Holy Spirit, on God, on Jesus, who can change that problem. And they're the only ones who can change that problem. You can't do anything about it. So instead of focusing on their problem, focus on them. And if I was you, this is what I do every time I have a problem. I focus on hearing the voice of God to tell me how things are going to turn out. I go and I sit down on my computer and I deliberately say, okay, God, this is what's going on now. And I need to hear from you. How is this going to turn out? Without fail, every time he tells me how things are going to turn out. But see, I have to go and be alone and deliberately focus on him and ask him to speak to me and tell me how things are going to turn out. Too many of us get on the phone. Well, now it's these little cell phones you got. And, you know, and we do all this Twitter and Facebook and all this other junk. And all you're doing is spreading your junk out there. And really, you need to go before the Father, you know, and ask the Father to reveal to you what's going on. All right? Most of the time when we go to prayer, we focus on past failures. We replay our defeats time after time, saying, oh, how far up the road I could have been if I hadn't failed. God had messed up my past. And see, my favorite thing was say, oh, God, here I am, 50 years old. And if only I would have known what I'd known when I was younger, I could have done so much more for you. But at 50 is when God wanted, he was always with me. But at 50 is whenever he brought one to bring me forth. You understand that? To be used in his kingdom. So quit focusing on what you used to be doing. God knows the exact time that he's going to bring you forth to do the works that he's called you forth to do. And God told me, always told me, you were not wasting your time. I was building character in you, and I was getting you ready to do the works I wanted you to do. So, you know, you're not always ready to do what God's called you for to do, and he has to get you ready to do it. So don't worry about what you could have done. If there was things you could have done, you didn't do them, so you can't go back and fix it. So let's just move forward and do what God's called us for to do today. You have to forget everything in your past. Absolutely everything, because your past will bind you up to, you won't be able to go into your future. It's all under the blood, and worrying about it is a waste of time. So forget yesterday, forget even the last hour, and forget about the future too, because only the Lord knows what's ahead of you. Instead, focus only on the Holy Spirit with your whole mind and heart. Give yourself completely to loving him. Too many in the body of Christ they're thinking, oh, I did this, and I did this, and I did this. You already did it. Quit allowing the enemy to use you to kill yourself spiritually. It's done, it's gone. Yes, you're ashamed of it, but you can't change it. So just move forward. God said everything we go through is it will be our testimony. So, you know, once you're all saved and cleaned up and everything else, and God starts using you to minister to other people, you can say, look, I was there. But look where God has brought me to. So don't be ashamed of where you were. I mean, don't go around being proud about and bragging about it. But don't be totally ashamed of where you were, because God put you into that place so he could teach you something so you could then minister to somebody else. I've told you when I married Larry, I was about as innocent as a newborn baby. I didn't know anything about anything sexually wise. And then you know, Steve Gallagher, I think it was, brought out the book about homosexuality and everything else. And I started learning all about perversion when my eyeballs about popped out of my head when I realized what was going on in the world. But see, God put me right in the very middle of that because he knew I had to teach about it. And I didn't like it at first until I realized this is where the world is at. And so I had to teach about it. So I had to know what was going on. So I had to have a firsthand, you know, hands-on thing. So then I could teach it with truth. So if you were an alcoholic and now are not, you'll be able to minister to an alcoholic. And they won't listen any more than you did, but you can minister to them, you know, and tell them the pitfalls of it, right? You know, if you're a drug addict, you can talk to drug addicts and maybe they'll glean something. But you know what I'm believing right now, and I really do mean this with all my heart, because it just dropped my spirit, that whenever you go and you minister to alcoholics, the Spirit of God is going to be in you, and they are going to listen, and they'll be cleaned up immediately. This is where we're at in this dispensation. And drug addicts and prostitutes and everything like that's going to be instantly, you know, their spirit's just going to flow over them, and they're going to be changed. All right, so you had to go the hard road. Somebody had to go the hard road, right? And so, you know, you learned a lot on that hard road. And so these new people are coming in, you know, they're just going to get everything. And you're going to say, well, look what I had to go through. Well, you know, are you a forerunner or what are you? A forerunner paves the way for the others, does it not? So this is what you, just because you went through some stuff does not mean it was for naught. Because you had to pave the way. You had to go through the mess. So you can say to somebody else, look, there's a brighter future for you. Okay. You will need much quality time to commune with the Holy Spirit. Is that right, Matt, Nancy? He will not speak to anyone who is in a hurry. All of God's word is about waiting on him. I know one night, he always gets me awake. If I'm not up, he gets me up at 3 o'clock to get the word for the day. And I'm sitting there and I say, I'm so sleepy, God, hurry up. And then he just takes a good old time. I want to go back to bed. But he just makes me sit there and wait, because I have to wait, you know, it's him speaking. I have to wait till he speaks and tells me what to say. So I have found out that if I just go out there and just praise him, he gives me the word right away. All right? So don't try to hurry him up, because it doesn't work. When you are in prayer, you cannot think the first thing that comes to mind is the voice of the Spirit. When you're in prayer, you cannot think the first thing that comes to your mind is the voice of the Spirit. Just see, this is why you have to know the devil's voice, and you have to know God's voice. Because the devil will get there and tell you junk. And you have to be able to discern which is which. And you can discern which is which. After you're in this a while, you'll find out that you'll know that the devil will say, he uses a tone that God doesn't use. It's not words, it's a tone of his voice that God doesn't use. And you'll know immediately that that's not the Holy Spirit, that that's the enemy trying to feed you a bunch of garbage. You need to understand that your flesh and the devil know your desire to hear his voice, and they will rush in and inject words that are not right. Here's what I do. If I'm in the middle of something and I wanted to turn out a certain God to say a certain thing about it, I'll call somebody else and say, would you please pray for me, with me? Because I don't want it to be my thoughts. I want it to be God's voice. Because, you know, your mind will tell you what you want to hear. And so, you know, if you're too caught up and if you're right, you know, if you're really in the very throes of that thing, you need to call somebody else that you know hears God's voice and ask them to pray with you. All right, wait patiently. Seek the Lord and minister praises to him. Take authority over every other voice that whispers thoughts to you. Believe that the Spirit is greater than these and that he will not let you be deceived or blind. Take authority over every other voice that whispers thoughts to you. Believe that the Spirit is greater than these, and that he will not let you be deceived or blind. The Holy Spirit will not let you be deceived. He just won't. Be willing to set your heart on him as Jacob did, and not let go until he blesses you. Now let me show you a higher meaning of walking in the Spirit. Last service we learned incredible detailed direction about walking in the Spirit, such as power over demonic interference, worry-free dependence on the Lord, and freedom from fearing men. Now, this is one thing you're going to have to do, guys. If you guys are going out there in leadership right now, you're not going to be able to fear man. You're going to have to know that you know that you know that, that the Holy Spirit is leading, guiding, and directing you. And because man will try to take over your ministry, and I'm talking about men and women. And so you have to know that you're walking in the Spirit, and you have to know that you're hearing the voice of God, and he is the one that's leading, guiding, and directing you. It's your ministry, right? It's your flagging ministry, right? And the devil will try to use everybody else to tell you how to flag. But God didn't call them to be the leader. He called you to be the leader. So you're the one that's hearing God's voice. So somebody else tries to say, well, God said, no, he's talking to you. He's not going to bring somebody else in to tell you how to flag. Sister Barbara is doing the Women's Aglow now. She's the leader of that Women's Aglow here. So other people will try to come and tell her how to do things. But I'm hoping, and I know this is true, that you'll be seeking God's face diligently, and you'll know that you know that you know that you're doing it the way God wants you to do it. So whatever it is God is calling you to do, whether it's to be a minister of the in a church, you have to know before you ever begin that God has called you to do that thing. Then you have to know that you have to continue to be seeking God's voice, Stay before his face and make sure he's leading, guiding, directing you, your footsteps. Then don't let anybody else come in and tell you how to run your church. All right? This church is everybody's church, but I'm the leader of the church. And I listen for God's voice. Are you listening to this? And so you can come and tell me how to run it if you like, but I'm not going to listen to you. I'm not, because God, you know, God isn't going to tell you to tell me how to run the church. He's going to tell me how to do it. Now, I told you a couple months ago, I was walking through the door and I heard a voice saying, "You're finished here." Now, I knew that wasn't God, but you know how that plagues me? You know, when things aren't going right, you know, I hear this voice, "You're finished there." And I said, "No, I'm not, devil. And you're just trying to discourage me." And I have to, it's over now, but I had to really fight through that voice. And see, a voice will come to you and it'll tell you something, like, you know, whatever, to try to discourage you so that you will go ahead and complete the works God's called you forth to do. See, I have had too many promises from God about what he's going to do with the church to believe that voice. But yet the voice is there. The seed was planted. You know what I'm saying? So you have to know that you know what God has told you. So when the enemy comes to plant a seed, you'll be able to fight that voice. All right, let's just say with your marriage, if all of a sudden the devil said your marriage is over, but yet God has given you all these wonderful promises about your marriage, now you're going to have to fight that voice that said your marriage is over, because that's the devil, and he's trying to get you to believe your marriage is over, and it seems like he works really well there, and people really do believe that voice. All right, so let's say you were an alcoholic, and you're doing really super good, and here comes this voice. You know you're going to drink again. Yet God has given you promises you'll never drink again. So what do you have to do? You have to fight against that voice that you're going to drink again. Don't believe that voice, because that's the voice of the enemy, and he's trying to draw you back in to that mess. Let's say you're on drugs, and let's just say you've determined your heart. All right, I'm not going to do drugs no more. And you know that God is with you to help you. Yet here comes this voice, and you know you want to take another drug. You're going to say, "No, I don't want to take another drug either, because God is with me in this, and I'm going to defeat this thing." The enemy's, let's just say pornography. Let's just say you were hooked on pornography. Do you think the enemy's going to let you alone? Absolutely not. He's always going to put these thoughts in your mind about looking at pornography. You're going to have to say, "No, I'm free from that." And if you've even claimed, "I'm free of pornography, I'll never look at pornography again," what's going to happen? The devil's going to come 10 minutes later and say, "You know you want to look at pornography." And you can't give in to those things. You have to say no. Because if you said those words, "I'm never going to look at pornography again, I'm done with that," you just gave God a promise. You made a covenant with God. And if you break that, you're in trouble with God. You need to quit listening to the voice of the enemy to draw you back into your sin nature. The Holy Spirit will lead God and direct you. And I'm quite sure that whenever you're doing your sin, you're convicted while you're doing it. And that's the Holy Spirit saying, "Don't do that." But see, if you keep overriding that, the Holy Spirit will walk away from you. Because, like I said, he's a gentleman. He doesn't push himself on you. But the Holy Spirit will give you strength to not sin. He really will. All right, so I said we learned about power over demonic interference. Worry-free dependence on the Lord, freedom from learning, fearing men. But each of these blessings should be only a byproduct of a higher walk in the Spirit. I believe the highest form of walking in the Spirit goes beyond all these things. Our example is found in 1 Samuel verse 9, chapter 9, I mean. In this chapter, Saul was sent by his father to find some runaway donkeys. Taking his servant with him, Saul searched throughout the lands of Ephraim, Shalem, Benjamin, and Zuph. Finally, he got discouraged and was ready to give up. Now, this is a good story. This is something you need to really get in your spirit. But then his servant told him about Samuel, a seer. Now, Saul, on his own flesh, was ready to give up. But then his servant told him about Samuel, a seer. Maybe he could tell him where to find the donkeys. On this occasion, I see Saul as a type of believer who seeks direction only. All he had in mind was, "Where are my donkeys? Where should I go? I'm at my wit's end," if you read that story. Meanwhile, God had already told Samuel a young man was going to come to him and that he was to anoint him. See this? God had already talked to Samuel, told him that this little Saul guy was going to be on his way. That happens in your life too. God always tells somebody else something about you. Samuel here is a type of the Holy Spirit who knows the mind of God. He has more on his mind than just direction. He knows Saul has been chosen by God to play a part in heaven's eternal purposes. The first thing Samuel did when Saul arrived was to call for a feast. In 1 Samuel 9:19, "Go up before me unto the high place, for ye shall eat with me today, and tomorrow I will let thee go, and will tell thee all that is in thine heart." Now, I'm just going to share, you know, with Brad, you know, he lives with me now, but he thinks he got there one way, but really God had this all planned out. And, you know, and God told me to take him in and let him live there. And then God told me the other day he would be there until he got married. Okay. So I said, oh, okay, I have a permanent residence now. All right. And then, you know, Brad has other things in his life and he doesn't know, but I'm going to tell him when I get home. God already prophesied to me a week ago and told me how this is all going to turn out. See, God already knew that little Brad was going to come my way. And he's already told me what Brad's role is in my home. And before I ever met Brad, I already knew that this person was going to come. I just didn't know who it was. And so don't think that you're just doing things. They are not. Your footsteps are ordered by the Lord. Whether you're following God or not, if you don't know God, your footsteps are still being ordered by the Lord. Because if he has a plan and purpose for your life, your footsteps are always ordered by the Lord. Yes, he lets us go down in the valley. Yes, he lets us get messed up. But all in all, but at the end, his purposes are fulfilled. All right, so then Samuel said to Saul, "Go up before me into the high place, for ye shall eat with me today, and tomorrow I will let thee go, and will tell thee all that is in thine heart." This is exactly what the Holy Spirit desires of us, to sit at the Lord's table and minister to him, having quality time alone, hearing his heart. Samuel asked Saul to clear his mind so they could commune together. In verse 20, "And as for thine donkeys that were lost 3 days ago, set not thy mind on them, for they are found." So I see he's saying to Saul, he said, let's just commune together. Let's just have a nice meal and let's just be happy together. Because your donkeys are already found. So whatever it is, guys, that you think you've lost, God already knows where it's at. He already knows how the circumstance is going to turn out. And so he just wants you to commune with him, have fun with him, and just enjoy him. And then whenever his time is ready, he will. Like I said yesterday, I said, God, I know everything's done in your time, but you please hurry up. How many of you have said that? You know, I said, now, I think I've waited long enough for this to come about. He didn't pay no attention to me. He didn't even answer me. All right. Samuel was saying, don't focus on getting direction now. That's all settled. See, we're all focused on getting direction. But what God wants to do is be focused on having communion with him. There's something more important at hand. You have to know God's heart, his eternal purposes. Samuel laid a whole shoulder of meat before Saul. And they spent time communing in verse 25. And Samuel communed with Saul upon the top of the house. You know, can you imagine what Saul was going through? Because he had to find these donkeys. And here this man is wanting you to sit down and eat, you know, and just talk. And he had a project he had to get done, right? After that night of communion, so they spent a whole night, right? After that night of communion, Samuel asked Saul to send his servant out of the room so they could have an intimate face-to-face session. 1 Samuel 9:27, "Bid the servant pass on before us, but stand thou still a while, that I might show thee the word of God." Then 1 Samuel 10:1 says, "Then Samuel took a vial of oil and poured it upon his head and kissed him and said, Is it not because the Lord hath anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance?" See, Saul didn't know he was going to be anointed to be king. He was just trying to find his donkeys. So how many of you in here, you're trying to find your donkeys? And the Lord's saying, be still because I have a higher calling for you. You're still trying to find direction. He's trying to get you to commune. Do you see what God is saying here? If you really want to walk in the Spirit, if you really want my anointing, you need to seek more than direction from me. You need to come into my presence and get to know my heart and my desires. You see, I want to anoint you to use you in my kingdom. Church, we need to forget direction. Forget everything else for now. Allow the Holy Spirit to teach you the deep hidden things of God. If God said you're going to have a ministry, you're going to have a ministry. But instead of you focusing constantly on that ministry, you need to be focusing on God, because God's getting the ministry all together for you. And at the right time, he's going to thrust you into it. See, when Barbara came here, she was a mess. And God would tell me all about what she was doing. You know, he would just explain what it was all about. He said, just be patient. He says, I'm working. So I was patient. And look where God brought her. She finally has her niche. She finally knows what God's been trying to do with her all her life. But see, she was looking for direction, and she wasn't communing. And so she was going in all kind of directions, right? You see how we do this? And if we would just seek God's face, he would get us to where we need to go sooner than we get there ourselves. All right, stand still in his presence and let him show you the very heart of the Lord. That is the walk of the Spirit in its highest form. Stand still in his presence and let him show you the very heart of the Lord. That is the walk of the Spirit in its highest form. Now, when I say Barbara was a mess, I have to clear this up. She really wasn't doing anything wrong. She was vibrant and alive for God, and she was just going and going and going and going and going. You know, I'm thinking, God, just calm her down. And, you know, she just thought she had to take care of everything. And you know, God didn't want her to do that. God just wanted her to commune with him so he could get her ready to do the works he has her doing now. All right, so when you do this, direction will come, and you won't even have to ask. You, when you commune with the Father, if you calm down, commune with the Father, direction will come, and you won't even have to ask the Father. As Saul was leaving, Samuel said in 1 Samuel 10:2, oh, by the way, go to Rachel's sepulcher, and you'll get the information you need about your donkeys. You know, and when I read that, I thought about one day when Brother Larry first started coming to the church. He was up here in the ministry line, and he walked me and I said, oh, by the way, God's told me to tell you your back's healed. You know, oh, by the way, God just throws it in, and sure enough, his back was healed at that moment. You understand how God does this. See, it's whenever you stand before him, when you just commune with him, that he takes care of everything else around about you. All right? So quit being anxious and nervous about things, and just allow God to set them in motion in his timing. All right, so God keeps telling us we're going to have a new church building, right? But the reason why we don't have a new building is because we weren't ready to go into a new building. We had too many Barbaras. We weren't ready to go into a new building, but now we're ready to go into a new building, so now we're going to get our new building. So what, you know, so if God's promised you a ministry and you don't have it yet, you're still not ready for that ministry. And God's getting you ready, and then all of a sudden one day, boom, you're going to be in that ministry. That you're going to have to commune with him and just forget about what he's told you he's going to do with you and just fall in love with him and let him lead, guide, and direct you. All right, then Saul received some of the most incredibly detailed instructions in all of God's word. Now listen to what Samuel told him. 1 Samuel 10:2. When you have departed from me today, you will find two men. See, now look what, this is what Samuel's telling Saul is going to happen. When you have departed from me today, you will find two men by Rachel's tomb in the territory of Benjamin. And they will say to you, the donkeys which you went to look for have been found. And now your father has ceased caring about the donkeys, and he is worrying about you, saying, what shall I do about my son? Then you should go on forward from there and come to the terebinth tree of Tabor. There three men going up to God at Bethel will meet you. One carrying three young goats, another carrying three loaves of bread, another carrying a skin of wine. And they will greet you and give you two loaves of bread, which you shall receive from their hands. After that, you shall come to the hill of God, where the Philistine garrison is, and it will happen when you have come there to the city, that you will meet a group of prophets coming down from the high place with a stringed instrument, a tambourine, a flute, and a harp before them, and they will be prophesying. Then the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, and you will prophesy with them to be turned into another man. And let it be, when these signs come to you, that you do as the occasion demands, for God is with you. You shall go down before me to Gilgal, and surely I will come down to you to offer burnt offerings and make sacrifices and peace offerings. 7 days you should wait till I come to you and show you what you should do. See all the precise directions he got? So it was, when he had turned his back to go from Samuel, that God gave him another heart, and all those signs came to pass that day. When they came there to the hill, there was a group of prophets to meet him. Then the Spirit of God came upon him, and he prophesied among them. And that was the only time he prophesied, by the way, was that day. And it happened, when all who knew him formerly saw that he indeed prophesied among the prophets, that the people said to one another, "What is this that has come upon the son of Gish? Is Saul also among the prophets?" Then a man from there answered, said, "But who is their father?" Therefore it became a proverb, "Is Saul also among the prophets?" And when he had finished prophesying, he went to the high place. Then Saul's uncle said to him and his servant, "Where did you go?" So he said, "To look for the donkeys." When we saw that they were nowhere to be found, we went to Samuel. And Saul's uncle said, "Tell me, please, what Samuel said to you." So Saul said to his uncle, "He told us plainly that the donkeys had been found. But what about the matter of the kingdom?" And he did not tell him what Samuel had said. Then Samuel called the people together to the Lord of Mizpah, and said to the children of Israel, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, I brought up Israel out of Egypt, and delivered you from the hand of the Egyptians, and from the hand of all kingdoms, and from those who oppressed you. But you have today rejected your God, who himself saved you from all your adversities and your tribulations, and you have said to him, 'No, set a king over us.' Now therefore, present yourselves before the Lord by your tribes and your clans." Now, I've told you this before, I'm going to tell you again. God always tells me, just like he did, Samuel did so, he always tells me detailed, step-by-step instructions of what's going to be said and done. Just like I told you one time, you know, this happened more than once, but one time this one sticks out in my mind because of the way the person did it. The night before, God said, "So-and-so is going to come to you, and they're going to say, 'I said thus, thus, and thus,' but it was not me saying it, it is them." Sure enough, the next day I came into the church, and that person came up to me and said, "God said thus, thus, and thus, and so I'm leaving." But see, God already told me what the exact words, and the person said the exact words God said, and he said, "That was not of me." Are you understanding this? So, you know, and when I was seeking God's face about Barbara, because she really loved the Lord and she was so exuberant, he would tell me every time exactly what was going on. And sure enough, that's what was going on. And so, you know, just this happened. This happens over and over and over again. All right, when my grandson was going to court, everybody else thought he was going to go to prison for 15 years. And God said, "No, he's not going to be sent away. He's going to be put on probation." So what happened? Everybody was amazed. He didn't get sent away. He got on probation. And the Lord says, "It's going to be stiff probation. He's not going to like it." And it is stiff, and he doesn't like it. So, you know, and I kept telling him, I said, I'm going to prison." "No, you're not. This is what God said." And then I would see God's face again, and God would tell me again. I said, "Now here's what God said." "No, you're not." And finally, right before he went, he said, "Well, I'm just going to get probation." But see, God would tell me step by step what was going to happen to him. This is how the Holy Spirit wants to lead, guide, and direct you. If your children are in trouble, you should know exactly, God will tell you exactly what's going to be happening to them. My granddaughter Alicia, God said to me, because of her sin, I'm going to throw her on a sick bed, and it's going to be near death. And so what, she's on a sick bed, she has cirrhosis of the liver, and she doesn't get a liver transplant, she's not going to live. It's plain and simple. But see, I already knew this was going to happen because God told me this. And I didn't ask him, I was just doing it one day, and he just told it to me. And this is the way God, this is the way the Holy Spirit wants to lead, guide, and direct you. Don't you want to be led, guided, and directed by the Holy Spirit that way? Then nothing will catch you off guard. And then with my grandson, God said, he's not going to serve me yet, even when I show him all these miracles. So I'm going to throw him on a sick bed. And believe me, when he gets off the sick bed, he will serve me. So what's happening? He's now on a sick bed. And it's going to get worse and worse until he bends his knee. And I already told him that. So it's working out exactly the way God said. So what's going on in your life? Do you really know what God is going to, where he's leading, guiding, directing you to? Is he speaking to you and telling you every day what's going to happen in your life or the people around about you? Now, see, you have to be careful here, because you could say the Holy Spirit told me, merely it's your mind telling you, because it's what you want to hear. Many times I've gone to prayer about a member of the family, and I'd hear this voice, and now that isn't God. And so I would call somebody else and say, let's just pray together. And I knew that voice wasn't of God, and God would speak to us, you know, the truth. So I want you to really, if you hear what you think you want to hear, I'd double check it. I'd get somebody else to hear the voice of God and you know, and see what God has to say through somebody else. Now, I wanted to hear with my grandson that he wasn't going to go to prison, all right? But what I heard was he's going to go in prison. He's going to stay in prison. He's going to be just like his father, live most of his life in prison. I said, oh, no, that's not God. I know that's not God because he's of my seed. You know, his blood, my blood runs through his veins. He has my DNA through my granddaughter. And so then whenever I went and said, I said, all right, God, devil, you get out of my prayer circle here. Now, God, I want to hear your voice. And then God spoke his voice, and I knew it was him. See, because the devil was trying to discourage me, trying to deceive me. He would do the very same thing to you. So you need to spend quality time with God. And you need to fall in love with him. And then let him lead, guide, and direct you in all of your footsteps. When I married my first husband, I was standing at the altar, you know, getting ready to walk down the aisle, and I heard a voice say, don't walk down that aisle. I don't want you to marry him. I didn't know anything about hearing the voice of God at that time. So I looked around. I didn't see anybody. And then I looked around at all the people in the church. Church packed out. And there's my daddy waiting to give me away. You know, my mother's, you know, home. She's preparing, getting everything together for the reception. And I thought, I can't disappoint all these people. So I walked down that aisle. And the voice said, don't walk down that aisle. I spent 45 years in a bad marriage. So you see, even at that point when I didn't even know to hear the voice of God, God was directing my footsteps. But I didn't understand and I didn't obey and I got in trouble. Now, how many of you can look back over your lifetime and know that because you didn't obey, you didn't understand, you got yourself in trouble? But from this moment forward, we're not going to get ourselves in trouble, are we? No, no, we're not. We're going to take quality time to spend with God. If you can spend an hour watching TV, you can spend 10 minutes with alone with God. All right? I don't have time, but there you sit watching TV or playing your little games on your computers or whatever you do, or being on your cell phone, you know, chit-chatting with people. You have quality time to spend with the Lord. Come on. All right. God has a precious oil of anointing he wants to pour on you this morning. He wants you to come out of his presence with the aroma of his anointing on you. And as you're leaving, he will whisper, oh, by the way, here's what you wanted to know. He promises in Isaiah 30:30, and the Lord shall cause his glorious voice to be heard. And this, my question to you this morning is, do you want to walk in the Spirit? Then seek your heart to seek him today like never before. You will learn to know his voice with clear, detailed directions. And with this dispensation that we're in right now, guys, we need to hear the voice of God, and we need to be led by the voice of God. All right? Now, what I want you to do this morning, when I said God has a precious oil of anointing he wants to pour on you, he wants you to come out of his presence with the aroma of his anointing on you. If you would desire this, I would like to have you come up to the altar, and we're going to pour oil on your head. We're not going to drench you, ladies. We won't ruin your hairdo, all right? But God wants us to pour oil on you so that whenever you go anywhere, the anointing of God, the aroma of the anointing of God will be on you. And you will be able to hear God's voice more clearly than you've ever heard it before. And if you've never heard it before, you're going to start hearing the voice of God. And I'm hearing him say, the voice is going to tell you, don't go this way. No, don't go that way. That voice is going to start leading you in the direction that God wants you to go. So the altar's open if you want that anointing this morning.